madam, summon up your dearest spirits. Consider who the king your father sends, to whom he sends, and what's his embassy. Yourself, held precious in the world's esteem, to parley with the sole inheritor of all perfections that a man may owe, matchless Navarre. A plea of no less weight than Aquitaine, a dowry for a queen. Be now as prodigal of all dear grace as nature was in making graces dear when she did starve the general world beside and prodigally gave them all to you.
Good Lord, Boyette. My beauty, though but mean, needs not the painted flourish of your praise. Beauty is bought by judgment of the eye, not uttered by base sale of chapmen's tongues. I am less proud to hear you tell my worth than you much willing to be counted wise in spending your wit in the praise of mine. But now to task the tasker. Good Boyette, you are not ignorant all telling fame doth noise abroad Navarre hath made a vow. To painful study shall outwear 3 years, no woman may approach his silent court. Therefore to seemeth it a needful course, before we enter his forbidden gates, to know his pleasure. And in that behalf, bold of your worthiness, we single you as our best moving fair solicitor. Tell him the daughter of the King of France, on serious business craving quick dispatch, importunes personal conference with his grace. Haste signifies so much, whilst we attend, like humble-visaged suitors, his high will.
Proud of employment, willingly I go.
All pride is willing pride, and yours is so. Who are the votaries, my loving lord, that are thou fellows to this virtuous youth?
Lord Longueville is one.
Know you the man?
I know him, madam. At a marriage feast between Lord Perigord and the beauteous heir of Jacob Falconbridge, solemnized in Normandy, saw I this Longueville.
Well?
A man of sovereign parts, peerless esteemed, well-fitted in arts, glorious in arms. Nothing becomes him ill that he would well. The only soil of his fair virtue's gloss, if virtue's gloss was stained with any soil, is a sharp wit matched with too blunt a will, whose edge hath power to cut, whose will still wills it should none spare that come within his power.
Some merry mocking lord, belikest so.
They say so most, that most his humours know.
That short-lived wits do wither as they grow. Who are the rest? The young Dumaine, a well-accomplished youth, of all that virtue loved, for virtue loved. Most power to do most harm, least knowing ill. For he hath wit to make an ill shape good, and shape to win grace, though he had no wit.
Another of these students at that time was there with him, if I have heard a truth. Barone they call him. But a merrier man within the limit of becoming mirth, I never spent an hour's talk withal. His eye begets occasion for his wit. For every object that the one doth catch, the other turns to a mirth-moving jest, which his fair tongue, conceits expositor, delivers with such apt and gracious words, that aged ears play truant at his tales, and younger hearings are quite ravished, so sweet and voluble is his discourse.
God bless my ladies. Are they all in love? That every one her own hath garnished with such bedecking ornaments of praise.
Here comes Boyette.
Now, what admittance, lord?
Navarre had notice of your fair approach, and he and his competitors in oath were all addressed to meet you, gentle lady, before I came. Marry, thus much I have learnt. He rather means to lodge you in the field, like one that comes here to besiege his court, than seek a dispensation for his oath to let you enter his unpeopled house. Here comes Navarre.
Fair princess, welcome to the court of Navarre.
Fair, I give you back again, and welcome I have not yet. The roof of this court is too high to be yours, and welcome to the wide field too base to be mine.
You shall be welcome, madam, to my court.
I will be welcome, then. Conduct me,
please. Hear me, fair lady. I have sworn an oath.
Our lady, help my lord. He'll be forsworn.
Not for the world, dear madam, by my will.
My will shall break it. Will and nothing else.
Your ladyship is ignorant what it is.
Well, my lord, so. His ignorance were wise, where now his knowledge must prove ignorance. I hear your grace hath sworn out housekeeping. 'Twere deadly sin to keep that oath, my lord, and sin to break it. But pardon me, I am too sudden bold. To teach a teacher ill beseemeth me. Vouchsafe to read the purpose of my coming, and suddenly resolve me in my suit.
Madam, I will, if suddenly I may.
You will the sooner that I may away, for you'll prove perjured if you make me stay.
Did I not dance with you in Brabant once?
Did I not dance with you in Brabantwon?
I know you did.
How needless was it then to ask the question?
You must not be so quick.
It is long of you that spur me with such questions.
Your wit's too hot, it speeds too fast, will tire.
Not till it leave the rider in the mire.
What time of day?
The hour that fools should ask.
Oh, fair before your mask.
Fair for the face it covers.
And send you men and lovers.
Amen. So you be none.
Never will I be gone.
Madam, your father here doth intimate the payment of 100,000 crowns, being but one half of an entire sum disbursed by my father in his wars. But say that he or we, as neither have, received that sum, there yet remains unpaid 100,000 more, in surety of the which one part of Aquitaine is bound to us, although not valued to the money's worth. If, then, the king your father will restore but that one half which is unsatisfied, we will give up our right in Aquitaine and hold fair friendship with his majesty. But that, it seems, he little purposeth. For here he doth demand to have repaid 100,000 crowns, and not demands on payment of 100,000 crowns to have his title live in Aquitaine, which we much rather had depart with all and have the money by our father lent than Aquitaine, so gelded as it is. Dear princess, were not his request so far from reason's yielding, your fair self should make a yielding against some reason in my breast, and go well satisfied to France again.
You do the king my father too much wrong, and wrong the reputation of your name, in so unseeming to confess receipt of that which has so faithfully been paid.
I do protest I never heard of it, and if you prove it, I'll repay it back, or yield up Aquitaine.
We arrest your word. Boyette, you can produce acquittances for such a sum from special officers of Charles, his father.
Satisfy me, sir.
So please, your grace, the packet is not come, where that and other specialties are bound. Tomorrow you shall have a sight of them.
It shall suffice me. At which interview all liberal reason I will yield unto. Meantime, receive such welcome at my hand as honour, without breach of honour, may make tender of to thy true worthiness. You may not come, fair princess, within my gates, but here without you shall be so received as you shall deem yourself lodged in my heart, although denied fair harbour in my house. Your own good thoughts excuse me and farewell. Tomorrow shall we visit you again.
Sweet health and fair desires consort your grace.
Thy own wish I thee in every place.
Sir, I pray you a word. What lady is that saying?
The heir of Alençon. Catherine, her name.
A gallant lady. Monsieur, fare you well.
I beseech you a word. What is she in the white?
A woman sometimes, and you saw her in the light.
Perchance light in the light. I desire her name.
She's an heir of Falconbridge.
What's her name in the cap?
Rosaline, thy good hap.
Is she wedded or now?
To her will, sir, or so.
You're welcome, sir.
Adieu. Farewell to me, sir, and welcome to you.
That last is Barone, the merry madcap lord. Not a word with him, but a jest.
And every jest but a word.
It was well done of you to take him at his word.
I was as willing to grapple as he was to board.
Ooh, two hot sheeps, marry.
And wherefore not ships? No sheep, sweet lad. Unless we feed on your lips.
You sheep and I pasture. Shall that finish the jest?
So you grant pasture for me.
Not so, gentle beast. My lips are no common, though several may be.
Belonging to whom?
To my fortunes and me. Good. Wits will be jangling. But gentles agree. This civil war of wit were much better used on Navarre and his bookmen, for here it is abused.
If my observation, which very seldom lies, by the heart still rhetoric disclosing with eyes, deceive me not now. Navarre is infected.
With what?
With that which we lovers entitle affected.
Your reason?
Why? All his behaviors did make their attire to the court of his eye, peeping thorough desire. His heart, like an agate with your print impressed, proud with his form in his eye, pride expressed. His tongue, all impatient to speak and not see, did stumble with haste in his eyesight to be. All senses to that sense did make their repair, to feel only looking on fairest of fair. Methought all his senses were locked in his eye, as jewels in crystal for some prince to buy, who, tendering their own worth from where they were glassed, did point you to buy them along as you passed.
his face, his own Margaret, did quote such amazes that all I saw his eyes entranced with gazes. I'll give you Aquitaine and all that is his, and you give him for my sake but one loving kiss.
Thou art an old lovemonger, and speakest skilfully.
He is Cupid's grandfather, and learned news of him.
Then was Venus like her mother, for her father is but grim.